Okay. Reading now from Psalm 23, because we need to. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. These are probably some of the most popular, memorable, and often quoted verses of Scripture in all of God's holy word, especially at the graveside. And when reading and thinking about these words of David, you cannot help but hear the love in his heart and admiration that he has for the Good Shepherd. David's life and reign as King of Israel was not without its heartaches, its troubles, or its enemies. It was not without its feelings of despair, sadness, fear, or insecurity. Yet while remaining honest to his true feelings throughout the Psalms, this greatest lyricist of all times seems always to bring himself back to a sense of emotional stability and to a position of greater spiritual strength by focusing on many comforting and blessed truths about the one he serves, his Lord, his Master, his Shepherd. While David obviously thinks of himself as a lamb in a flock of sheep, he thinks of the Lord's provision, protection, leadership from the standpoint of his former occupation when he, David, was a shepherd himself. From his youth, David became very familiar with the peculiarities and the proclivities of his sheep, and he came to learn firsthand the loving and sacrificial leadership required of a shepherd to adequately provide for and to protect the flock. There are three needs the shepherd meets for sheep to lie down, for example. According to Philip Keller, a former shepherd who wrote a commentary on Psalms, there are several things that have to be taken care of by the shepherd before the sheep will even lie down. First of all, he relieves their fear. The shepherd has to relieve their fear. If sheep are afraid, they will remain standing. Their only defense is to run. Fear in the flock is always dispelled by the presence of the shepherd. He simply goes over to where they are, and his presence is all that is needed. Jesus Christ, our shepherd, promised us, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Hebrews 13 and verse 5. Secondly, the shepherd must relieve them and keep them from famine. The shepherd has to keep them from famine. Green pastures are no coincidence. They are no accident. The shepherd has actually prepared it that way, made sure it would be that way. He has planted the seed and pulled poisonous weeds that the sheep might eat. He has ensured that the sheep will not go hungry. Verse 5 of Psalm 23 expands on the provision of the shepherd. You prepare a table before me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I used to think, or always imagine, whenever I would read that phrase, you prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, those photographs where you'd have everybody way out in the field where the grass is up this high and there's trees out behind them, you know, way out in the country on the farmland someplace, and they're all got their, it's the fancy table, you know, and the big chairs with their arms on them, and They're all welcome. They're sitting at the welcome table, you know, and it's just loaded with all sorts of food and a great big old cornucopia in the middle and, you know, a big old ham or turkey or something on there. And I never did imagine the enemies in their armor or anything around it, but that's, he's not even talking about that kind of a table, really. He's talking about a plateau. He's talking about a mesa. He's talking about a place where the grass is green and it's high, where there's protection on an expanse of land. That's really what he's talking about here. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Even though there are predators all around, his presence and his provision enable me to satisfy my hunger as a sheep. Hungry sheep never lay down. They stay on their feet, foraging and groping for another mouthful. The only sheep who lie down are sheep who have been well fed and sheep who are not afraid. Again, it's critically important for the shepherd, who the shepherd is. Can he do that for you? And are you satisfied today? Thirdly, the shepherd protects them. Don't miss this. Don't forget this. This is a really important point, the protection that he provides. The shepherd protects the sheep from flies. Ooh, flies. Yeah, you know, those pesky things that you have. No, that's not really what we mean. He protects them from flies. The shepherd has to protect the sheep from flies. The shepherd protects the sheep from a certain kind of nasal fly, as well as other parasites that burrow into their ears and into their nasal passages. Ever have an itch that you can't scratch? What a sheep does when he can't scratch what he needs to scratch is he butts his head against a tree until he kills himself. The shepherd protects the sheep from those irritants that the sheep cannot do anything about on his own. And so he says, "You anoint my head with oil." That's why that oil is there. It seems David would later apply many of these lessons learned in his youth shepherding sheep to his responsibilities of leading Israel as their king. And despite his flaws and failures, because he had a repentant heart toward the shepherd of shepherds, the Lord thought of him as one after his own heart. Those among us who aspire to roles of leadership in our time within the Lord's sheepfold, the church, would do well to emulate the ultimate example of true shepherding to which David here alludes. In John 21, verse 17, Jesus said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." And Jesus was expecting Peter to show his love for him by the way he exerted the kind of effort and put in the kind of time and concern for his brethren, as the Lord would. 1 John 3:16, "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. If as sheep in your service to God, you would develop attributes of a leader to one day effectively shepherd the Lord's sheep, then you will need to look to the example of the Good Shepherd. You will need to evaluate and commit to the Lord's core principles and see clearly your God-given purpose. I'm talking about a set of core principles and truths which you know are based on principles and precepts of our Lord, according to His Word, core principles which for you are non-negotiable. Outside even of your ability to water down or explain away, because they are eternal. They are of God. And then based on that set of core principles, you need to cultivate and nurture within yourself a clear sense of purpose for your life here as a member of the sheepfold and your role later as shepherd of the sheep. Secondly, you will need to consider carefully who the Lord is, who He is to you, who He is really to all of us, what He is to you in your life, what He has done for you, and whether you really respect Him, whether you really love, whether you really adore Him. Jesus says, "The Lord is my shepherd." And you can sense the admiration in the smile of His face when He says that. You can sense the pride in His heart when He talks about who His shepherd is. And for good reason, think about it. Our Lord's example of principle-centered purpose and provision and protection is exceedingly abundant, above everything we could ever ask or think. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. He is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He is the Good Shepherd, the Shepherd of Shepherds. From all eternity, He is just. From all eternity, He is merciful at the same time. Consider the goodness and severity of God. Paul would write in Romans 11:22. And from this set of core principles of justice and mercy, what He could not remove Himself from, because that's what He was, that's who He is, our Lord developed an eternal purpose for creating this massive, expansive universe, this world, life itself, and then you and me. And what was His purpose? That you would be saved, but ultimately that He would be glorified, so that He could satisfy His just nature and be merciful at the same time. So before He did anything, He formulated a plan to bring about all of that. And then He carried out that plan. And in doing so, brethren, He has prepared for us a massively expansive table. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Is something to consider carefully. It was by His good pleasure, according to His sovereign will, His sovereign pleasure, He predestined the way of salvation. In the old times, you can see the promise given to Abraham, "In your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed," Genesis 22, verse 18. And then you see throughout the annals of history in the Old Covenant how the Lord was a seed saver, as it were, and preserving a lineage through whom the Messiah would come. He prepared His people with a sense of reality and of the severity of sin and the need over time, with all those animal sacrifices, an appreciation for the need for atonement for sin until the promised seed would come. And through prophecies after prophecies, which would later be fulfilled, we see His prudent provision. We see a great example in picture in the life of David in preparing ultimately for what his son would be able to accomplish in the kingdom and bring about. A great picture really of what our Lord provides and then later gives to us when the church begins. And then look and see what Israel did with the kingdom. And look what and see what Christendom, as they call it, has done with the truth. You see exactly the same kind of thing happening in history, repeating itself. We need to consider carefully how wonderful the ways of the Lord really are. He prepared a way, and then Pentecost came. And there was powerful preaching, and then there was penitence. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers. Why? Because Ephesians chapter 1 says they were a purchased possession. And the Lord was with them always, even unto the end of the world, providing that protection as the good shepherd. And why? This was to the praise of the glory of His grace. The degree to which you appreciate what the Lord has done for you, what the Lord has done for us, determines how solid your foundation is for service to Him through service to your brethren. It determines your foundation of honor and respect and love for your shepherd. Consider carefully the Lord's plan He carried out for the salvation of lost souls to the praise and the honor of the glory of His grace, and then consider what plans you have and how they compare to God's plans and how they will fit into what He would have you to do. What plan do you have, and what plan must you have, and what plan must you follow? Certainly, it would be that which the Lord provides. What service must you lovingly, sacrificially provide the sheep of your fold? Well, to provide for their spiritual needs, to feed the flock, nurture the flock, provide a safe environment to enable the flock to be adequately fed and nourished and take comfort in the shelter of the fold and grow as the Lord intends. What must your purpose as a shepherd be? Well, that you would be saved. And that every sheep in your flock would have every opportunity to grow and be saved. But for what ultimate purpose? So that God would be glorified. Ephesians 1:12, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. It was already read from Ezekiel chapter 34, reading verses 1 and 2. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God to the shepherds, Woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? In a nutshell, here's my point. Brethren, feed the flock. Not your ego.